On October 14th, 2010, the University of Michigan celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Peace Corps. But I'd like to just give you a little bit, a few dates. This film goes on for another half an hour, and we decided you wouldn't stand for a full hour, so. But anyway, the night before the letter, we actually brought together a bunch of people who we knew fairly well, and just to create some kind of organization. And then we formed the group that organized events on the campuses. It was unheard of that hundreds of people would come to meetings. In the past, maybe 10, 15, 20 people would come to meetings that were organized. Remember, this is 1960, not 2010. And the campus seemed to be energized overnight. The Michigan Daily actually assigned a reporter. And Tom Hayden was very critical in all this in assigning a reporter to follow us around. And it appeared throughout the state of Michigan because the Michigan Daily was on the AP wires. And petitions were distributed at all the events and throughout the campus. In fact, people were putting out petitions that we didn't even know about. It was just spontaneous, like all over campus. And eventually 1,000 people signed the pledge on the night of November 2nd. Now, just if you can see the timing, October 14th, he speaks. October 18th, Paul speaks. October 21st, the letter comes. And on the night of November 2nd, how many days is that? 2 weeks? 6 days before the election, Kennedy gave a major foreign policy address in San Francisco in which he committed himself to the creation of the Peace Corps. Harris Swafford in October told me that they had no idea they were going to include the Peace Corps in this speech. It was a foreign policy speech. And when they heard about the reaction at Michigan, they scuttled around. Kennedy said, "Are they for real?" to Ted Sorensen. And Sorensen said, "They are for real." And because he had heard from Millie Jeffrey, Sharon Jeffrey's mother, who was a campaign manager for Kennedy. And so literally he said just a few days before the speech, "Put that in the speech." And then he said, "For this nation is full of young people eager to serve the cause of peace in the most useful way. I have met them on campaigns across the country. When I suggested at the University of Michigan lately that we needed young men and women willing to give up a few years to serve their country in this fashion, the students proposed a new organization, promote an effort. Kennedy requests to see and to meet our group, myself, my former wife, and about 5 or 6 other people." And we went down. This is the picture of Kennedy, my former wife, and myself, and a bunch of other people. And literally, there was no press there. The only press was the Michigan Daily. He just wanted to talk to us and talk to the students who responded. And it's one of these crazy moments in history when all the stars were aligned. Mm-hmm. Toledo was 20 miles away from Ann Arbor. He could have gone anywhere in the country that night, that day, and he did. And all of these things just fell into place. And it continues to amaze me years later. Kennedy was elected president by 120,000 votes on November 8th, 25 days after the October 14th speech. Some observers actually state that Kennedy's election may have been a result of the commitment to the Peace Corps. The Michigan students on December 9th and 10th held a 2-day intensive conference on campus on all aspects of the Peace Corps, and then Tom Hayden actually gave his first public speech at that conference. In December, January, we worked with the National Student Association, American University Student Group, to plan a major national conference on the Peace Corps at American University. And I gave speeches all over Michigan between November and March, and we attended the meetings to push for the Peace Corps and to lobby for the Peace Corps. And on March 1st, Kennedy created the Peace Corps by executive order. It was months later that the Congress passed it. And on March 29th, 30th, we held that conference that we had planned. And it was the first time that Shriver talked publicly about the Peace Corps. 400 colleges and universities were represented, and Senator Hubert Humphrey talked. And a scene in the film, you didn't see it, but later on, the founding director of the Peace Corps, Sergeant Shriver, wrote in his memoirs, "It might still be just an idea, but for the affirmative response of those Michigan students and faculty. Possibly Kennedy would have tried it once more on some other occasion, but without a strong popular response, he would have concluded the idea was impractical or premature. That probably would have ended it then and there. Instead, it was almost a case of spontaneous combustion." Actually, there was no task force on the Peace Corps in the transition. It was the political pressure of the students, thousands and thousands and thousands of students writing, asking for a Peace Corps, that led them to eventually create a planning group. My former wife and I became Peace Corps volunteers in October 1961. We went to Thailand in 62 and stayed there till April 64 with the first group to go to Thailand. It's the 12th group, I think, to go into service. And it may be surprising to you that that's me. And that's me over there. That was our service in Thailand. I basically had one of the best assignments of any Peace Corps volunteer. I taught at the main university and helped create the first graduate program in educational psychology with Thais. It was a wonderful, wonderful assignment. And very much easier than a lot of what Peace Corps volunteers had to deal with. But it was still a profound experience, which I will talk about later. What I'd like to do now is I was going to show a DVD of my speech on October 14th, 2010, commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Peace Corps. And it was at 2 a.m. in the morning, exactly 50 years later. It's very, very emotional. Anyway, Lorian wanted to hear me give the speech again. So I'm going to do it rather than watch the DVD. You can now cry, Lorian.
I have been.
Oh, there you are. Now, I have to do this without getting emotional. It still amazes me 50 years later that it took, and by the way, it's about 1,500 people are out there. It's drizzling, cool, and it's literally the same weather it was 50 years later. It was beautiful the day before. It was beautiful all day except for about till about 6 o'clock. And then it was beautiful the next day. Go figure. But the question remains, why did the students respond the way they did? Why did Tom Hayden, who was the editor-in-chief of the Michigan Daily, respond so quickly to support this new student group led by graduate students he had never heard of before? Why did Millie Jeffrey respond the way she did? She was a campaign manager for Kennedy in the state of Michigan and director of community relations for the UAW. Why did students on other campuses in Michigan react so enthusiastically to what was happening on the University of Michigan campus? And how could this all have been done so quickly? Like everything in life, you got to look at the context. Taking back to 1960, as you saw in the film, the students of the 1950s were said to be uninterested in any active political or organizational action. We were said to be the quiet generation. But on February 1st, 1960, in the city of Greensboro, North Carolina, four freshman students from North Carolina A&T College, an historically black college, decided they would sit in at the lunch counter in the downtown Woolworth store and would not leave until they were served. Influenced by earlier events and speeches, especially by Martin Luther King and the actions of Rosa Parks, the Montgomery, Alabama bus boycott, as well as the idea of nonviolent action advocated by Gandhi, they had enough of not being able to sit and be served in restaurants. They and their fellow students continued the sit-in for months. But this was not to be a local sit-in. From Greensboro, the student sit-in movement spread like wildfire throughout the South, led by students at scores of black colleges, and captured the imagination of young people and adults throughout the country. In Ann Arbor, in the spring of 1960, students demonstrated down State Street in support of the sit-ins and picketed the local Kresge store, which had the same national political policies as the Woolworth lunch counters. At the same time, Tom Hayden was writing major editorials in the Daily about the need for students to be more active, reminding students of the Greensboro sit-in and the actions of students on other campuses. And Sharon Jeffrey, the daughter of Millie Jeffrey, who you saw in the film, Kennedy's Michigan campaign manager, was a student activist at the Michigan campus, was also instrumental in keeping her mother informed of how students were responding to Kennedy. Along with the Ann Arbor and national movements, there was a growing role that young African leaders were playing in independence movements against European colonial control of their countries. Indeed, the torch was being passed to a new generation. In the United States, this was particularly emphasized in the presidential campaign of a young, inspiring president and the civil rights movement. The role of the students at the University of Michigan in the creation of the Peace Corps is a wonderful and important story, but it would not have happened, I believe, without those four courageous freshman students in Greensboro, North Carolina, who decided that they were going to change the society in which they lived. I'm indeed proud of what the students of the Michigan did in October 1960 in stimulating the creation of the Peace Corps. We did choose to make a difference. We did feel we were part of the passing of the torch to a new generation, and we did choose to serve. But who would have thought that four freshman students at North Carolina A&T would have been a major force in the civil rights movement? And who would have thought that a few students at the University of Michigan could in 3 weeks influence a president to create a Peace Corps? But the reality is that many significant changes begin this way. People who want to make a difference and have the courage to act. To quote Margaret Mead, she said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." Now it is up to a new generation to make a difference. Today's students are much more active than we were in 1960 in social, political, and environmental programs to change the course of this nation. A good example is the students and young people of this country organized and with many in the older generation to elect another young and inspiring president, this time the first African-American president. But elections are one thing, keeping the faith over time is another. I never doubt that a small group can change the world, but the key to success is not giving up. The key is perseverance in the face of opposition. Kennedy challenged the students in 1960, and the students responded and persevered. This is why there is a Peace Corps. Thank you.